Oh, I don't believe there are answers. There are no answers, and this museum is not an answer. It is a question mark.
Holocaust survivor and Nobel laureate Elie Wiesel at the dedication of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in 1993. Over 800 Chicagoans were on the National Mall the day the museum opened its doors, including Lincolnwood resident Renee Bernberg Silverman. Her mother and father, both survivors, but many of her family members among the 6 million Jews killed.
We are a part of something big and something important, and that we have a voice. So there's a certain security to that.
So a city with world-renowned museums in their own backyard embraced the idea of building a museum over 700 miles away. Jill Weinberg, Midwest Regional Director, says Chicago's raised over $82 million over three decades.
We are not the wealthiest community. Clearly, there's more wealth in New York or more wealth in California than there is in Chicago. So we didn't do it from that viewpoint. It's not the largest survivor community. It's not the largest Jewish community.
Before Congress approved building the museum, Jordan Tannenbaum, chief development officer, says events in Chicago brought to light the importance of a building on the National Mall.
Very early on, of course, there was this walk, this Nazi walk in Skokie that triggered a lot of interest and kind of energized the community.
Lincolnwood resident Renee Bernberg Silverman and six of her lifelong friends travel from Chicago to Washington, D.C. to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. They have an unbreakable connection. Their parents became friends after escaping the Nazis during World War II.
When we get together, we have this special bond of knowing what our parents went through and knowing how much we meant to our parents and knowing that it's so important to us that the stories continue. So it's family.
Silverman, one of 43 million visitors who've walked the dark, hollow rooms of the museum, try to comprehend the atrocities that took place in Europe. In honor of the anniversary, Northwestern professor Daniel Green curated America and the Holocaust.
The American people in their right.
The exhibit looks at what Americans knew about the threat of Nazism, including the persecution and murder of Europe's Jews during the 1930s and 40s. And it tries to ask difficult questions about what more might have been done, and especially to ask why rescue of Jews didn't become a priority.
The museum now has an additional tool they didn't have in 1993, a website. Today, 24 million log on annually in 16 languages. Silverman says it's crucial in light of world events.
The Holocaust Museum is posting stuff about Charlottesville, like the glossary of the language and the symbols and what to look for. I'm like, yes, thank you. You are educating the world.
But there's still more work to be done. Anti-Semitic incidents rose 57% last year, and a new study shows two-thirds of millennials haven't heard of the Holocaust.
We don't just collect stuff, we collect stories.
Yellow documents and frayed black and white photos are among the collection of over 20,000 artifacts that tell the stories of survival, death, goodness, evil, and chaos during World War II. Each piece is meticulously restored, documented, and digitized at the Chappelle Center, just a short drive from the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. Scott Miller, Director of Curatorial Affairs, says the center has one purpose.
We call this rescuing the evidence of the Holocaust.
Lincolnwood resident Renee Bernberg Silverman donated personal items to keep her parents' story alive.
What my parents went through wasn't in vain.
She brought her son to see their archives.
It means everything to me. It's the future.
But it's a race against time as survivors pass away. Miller knows there's more to unearth.
There are grandchildren of survivors, neighbors of survivors, we will, and they have material. We're interested in acquiring it, but the first preference, of course, is from the survivors themselves who can tell us the story. They're the eyewitness.
Especially in Chicago, where there's such a large Polish community.
Poles in Chicago also survived a lot of Nazi destruction and persecution and racism in Poland, or were eyewitnesses to atrocities against Jews, so we're interested in their material as well. So there's a lot of, in Chicago, there's a lot of history in Chicago.
Since the museum doesn't charge admission, that means serious fundraising. Over 2,000 will gather downtown in October for the museum's 22nd annual luncheon, raising over $5 million. Mayor Emanuel says Chicago's commitment doesn't waver.
I am proud that Chicago, Illinois, has the largest event for the Holocaust Museum, so that future generations not only know what happened, but know their responsibility to ask the questions, to demand the answers.
Kim Gordon, WGN News.